stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Dave Bartosiak, the editor of the Momentum and Home Run Investor Services, as well as operating Zach's Live Trader over on YouTube. And we also have a special guest in the studio today, Eric Vizinus, who is Zach's studio manager. I guess that's their title, right?
Yeah.
He works behind the scenes here in production at Zach's, so you've not seen him or heard him. So this is the first speaking opportunity.
That's the first time I've actually been like somewhat public.
Yeah. He's always just quietly doing his thing behind the scenes and helping us here in the studio. But I've asked Dave and Eric to come on to talk about a topic that's kind of really heating up, and a lot of people are nervous about it. Some people are saying that, you know, it's reflective of the U.S. economy, and that is the U.S. auto market. Is it in trouble? Are the good times over? Can we sustain the car buying activity that we've seen, or at least not decline? And are the stocks that are in this area good buy now, or should you be kind of waiting on the sidelines on this area? So first of all, I have asked Eric to join us today because he has an interesting story about car buying and the auto industry. And he was telling me this in the studio a while ago, and I was like, immediately, I thought I have to have Eric on a podcast about this because it's kind of a crazy story. So you are in the market for a car, is that right?
Yeah, I was looking for a car and went through a bunch of dealerships. And
right. So first you went on some kind of website, yes, right, where you can put in information about what kind of car you're looking for, and then it tells you all the dealerships. You're here in Chicago area, so it tells you all the dealerships that like have that car and the cost and all that stuff, right? Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, basically you have a model vehicle in mind. Me, it was a Dodge Challenger.
Okay.
And so I went on to autofinder.com and put in my information, and it showed me a bunch of cars that were around in local dealerships. And then I started getting emails.
Okay, this is the part that's intriguing, yeah, to me. So suddenly, even though now, did you go to any of these dealerships? Did you, you know, test drive the cars or talk to anybody?
So
or?
I did go to two of the like five dealerships,
okay,
that started contacting me. But yeah, initially it started with just, oh, hey, you know, we saw that you're interested in this vehicle. Like, give us a call if you'd like to come check it out and come to the, you know, dealership and take a test drive. And it was like, okay, cool. I appreciate that. I don't have time this week. But then it started getting to the point where it's almost like harassment. I was kidding.
Sounds like it's almost like stalking or something.
Pretty much got to be that point. I was telling you just before we started that I got already a text this morning from a dealership that I never stepped into, telling me to come in and check out the vehicle and text no if you're not going to come in. And I was like, I'm not going to say anything, because at this point you're just going to keep bugging me.
So how long has this been going on now?
For like 2 months. I started June. Yeah, I started in like June. We're now into August. And today, August 1st, I got a text message already.
And
but I was getting like 3 to 4 text messages a day, 2 to 3 emails, like 4 or 5 phone calls.
So they literally have like physical people calling you, you know, like the real person is calling you and leaving messages too.
Yep. Somebody different from each dealership every day going, oh, hey, you going to come in and check out this car? And you'd think that just ignoring them or not picking up or just kind of not saying anything, that they'd stop. But no, it was like 2 to 3 times a day for some of these dealerships. They'd call me. It would be like once in the morning when I was like at work, kind of being like, oh, hey, don't forget about us. And then you get another one like right around 5 o'clock when most people are getting out of work. So it's like they're really hammering to try to get people to come into these dealerships.
Yeah, obviously. So did it work? Did you go in? Did you buy a car? What's the story?
For a couple of the dealerships, it did work.
Okay.
I did go in, checked it out, and you know, you sit down with the guy, and the manager comes over, and oh, I really think great that you came in. By the way, you know, if you're looking for a deal, we're definitely your stop. It's like, no, you're not. You guys aren't even budging on this. I'm not going to name the dealership, but the sticker price was $43,375.
Wow.
On a 2015. I was like, that's a little steep for a 2-year-old car.
Wow.
I was like, what can you do for us? He literally knocked off $300 and was like, here you go.
Okay.
And I was like, well, that's insulting. $300. Like, that's not even title plates and, you know, taxes.
Yeah.
Like, so no, I'm not interested anymore.
So you haven't bought anything?
No, I have not bought anything.
Okay.
Yet.
After they listen to this, they're going to find you even more.
Oh,
so
I know.
They're going to start sending They're like, wait, he's still in the market. I have to get in there. Still have a chance.
I'm not kidding though. It was like serious harassment. I was getting
this sounds crazy.
10 instant messages a day.
Wow.
From like 3 or 4 different local auto dealers.
Okay, Dave, you're kind of like our auto expert here at Zacks. And it sounds like, you know, obviously July sales weren't that good. We just got those in. Those declined, and they have a lot of cars sitting on the lots, which is kind of obvious from Eric's story.
Oh, yeah.
And they definitely, inventory is an issue now with a lot of these auto dealerships. And I saw some numbers from GM, even just in general for GM, the inventory was 104 days as of July here, and normal is 60 days. And then just looking around at some of the dealerships, I think it was Group One Auto who said that their inventory, and they're like all different types of cars and trucks and all of that, they have many brands, that it was something like 88 days at the end of June. That was even before July. So it sounds like inventory is kind of an issue with a lot of the auto companies, and that's usually not a good sign. But what do you think about what's going on with the autos?
It's all hitting the fan.
Uh-oh.
I am dead serious. Lots of things. So you had huge pent-up demand. The aging auto fleet here in the U.S., I know we talked about that a lot. These cars were, you know, after the coming out of the Great Recession, people weren't exactly running out there and buying cars. Over the last couple of years, they finally did so. So we started to get towards this, you know, this quote-unquote peak auto. So you have that, right? Just like an exhaustion of demand. Another thing that's happening is the amount of subprime loans in the auto industry has risen from 1/10 of the business in 2010 to 1/3 of the business in 2016. And the amount of those has gone from $5 billion to $25 billion. So you got a bunch of bad loans, essentially.
Yeah.
People coming in and buying the stuff. The other thing was they had a ton of lease specials over the last few years to get people to get these new cars. Well, those leases are starting to come due, and people are turning in these cars. And what that's doing is putting a huge supply of used cars on the market right now, and it's dropping used car prices across the board. So now when you're going into a place and you're trying to get a new car lease, the residual values on that lease are lower. So now you have to pay more for the new car lease versus the car that you were just about to trade in, kind of thing.
Right.
So that's all bad news for new autos. The other bad thing is people aren't stupid, and they know that electric cars are right around the corner. There's a major technological leap that's going to take place over the course of the next 5 years. And there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, I'll just wait because it's about to get, you know, Audi is about to have a bunch of electric cars. Volvo is going to have their whole fleet be electric here pretty soon. Obviously, you have the Teslas that are coming on. Ford is spending a ton of money and investing in electric vehicles. So there's a huge shift that's going to take place in the auto industry. And right now, it's going to be trouble for these guys to sell new stuff.
Eric,
along the lines
hold
of,
on, time out. Eric, you're shaking your head at me while he's talking.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head.
Does that mean you're not waiting on the sidelines for the electric car? You're willing to go out there?
I talk about the electric car all the time. Dave knows how I feel about it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
I feel like the electric car is a rich person's toy.
Okay.
I don't think that the electric car is anywhere near ready for the U.S. market and the amount of people that are out there driving. I think the infrastructure, nobody's ever looked at that and what it's going to take to line every single Chicago street with an electrical outlet to charge their vehicle.
Right.
I think otherwise, the electric car currently is a toy and a fad. And, you know, I think it was GM. Yeah, it's GM. Chevy was trying to get rid of the Bolt.
That's right.
They're like, you know what? We're not selling these things, so we're just going to stop altogether. I thought it was a bold move for Volvo to come out and say they're going to do their whole fleet that way. It's probably great for the 10 people in the United States that own a Volvo nowadays.
Yeah. What about self-driving cars? Does that kind of technology make you want to stay on the sidelines? Because I know for me, I'm like, well, if we're going to get self-driving supposedly in like 5 years, possibly, then why should I buy a car if the car's just going to drive up to the curb and pick me up?
Well, Tracy, that's 5 years down the line.
Okay,
how often do you keep a car for more than 5 years? Most people I know usually rotate them within 5 to 10 tops.
So 3 to 5, yeah.
Yeah, you've got time yet before the electric car becomes a competitor, in my opinion.
Okay, so Dave, we're kind of against you on the stand on the
that's
sidelines.
That's okay. You guys are wrong, but that's okay. no, because you can't. It's not just the U.S.
That's true.
True. True, but I don't think other countries are thinking about that either.
There's some, what is it? It's either like Finland or Norway has already said that they're going to be all electric. London, the downtown, the London city area, it needs to be electric by 2020.
I'd love to see their plan. Wow. I'd love to see the infrastructure.
So they just do it. They
so much better for the environment.
London's got to totally do, I mean, you got to spend $20 just to drive in downtown London.
That's
they got
true.
A whole different thing going on.
They have
on
a special there. Taxes to even drive down.
But anyway, regardless of EV demand, because I mean, we could go on for hours about future EV demand. But the thing about it is, these car companies right now, major uphill battle, just with the sheer amount of used cars that are coming, and they can't offer the incentive. And the other part is, interest rates are on the rise. Eventually, right?
Right.
And then now you're going to have to pay more money to buy this new car, which is going to depreciate faster because there's more used cars on the market. It's just going to create a tough environment for the new cars. Now, the used car market, though, is probably going to see increased volume because the cars are going to be a little bit cheaper and people are going to be making those decisions of, you know what, I can go certified pre-owned and get this thing and I don't have to worry about it.
See, now I've got
you're still going to have that.
I've got a story about this. My sister just bought a brand new Murano, a Nissan Murano. She thought she wasn't going to be able to afford a new one. They were looking at, her and her husband were looking at a two-year-old model. Apparently, this is what the dealership did. And to make it look like they had sales, they went and bought a bunch of vehicles and then sat them on their lot and then sold them at a discount. My sister got a brand new Murano for the exact same price that she would have paid for a two-year-old year Murano. So she saved herself what probably comes down to $8,000 to $10,000.
Wow. Yeah, it was, used cars had gotten so expensive because everybody was buying those that a year ago when I was looking around for a car, it was actually more cost efficient for me to buy the new than the used because those prices were insane. But now I don't know, now that Dave's telling us that there's going to be a lot of these used cars out there, that could change the equation in the coming months.
I thought the trick was interesting. The dealership had down sales. They bought a bunch of cars that they knew they could unload for cheaper to make their sales look better.
Yeah.
That to me was interesting.
And there's a lot of that taking place. And that's why you got to be careful with these car dealers.
Okay.
And the car manufacturers. But the used guys should be a little bit better. But the problem is this whole, there's a subprime bubble in car loans right now.
So you're saying this is like the same thing that happened a couple of years back where they got busted?
Well, yeah they've had.
Do you know that Santander and AmeriCredit, so those are the two big players here in the U.S. in subprime, they did a study and only 8% of the Santander loans actually verified income.
Wow.
Wait, what?
They only verified income on 8% of the loans that they gave out.
So those are like the commercials that you hear on the radio, like, come in, we don't, $100 right? down, yeah. We don't care what your credit is.
Exactly.
We'll just take your house when you can't make a payment.
But the thing about, that's the thing, with car loans, you're not safe. You get a car that you can't afford, they repossess the car, you still owe on the loan.
Yeah.
And they can come after, they can garnish your wages. They can obviously take you to court, get judgments passed against you. There's also, you don't have the same consumer protections as you have, with your house even.
Well, it's like the buyer beware thing, though. Yeah. Like, read the fine print. I just read about a woman in Chicago who got tricked into buying a car that she didn't want. It's like, how'd you get tricked into buying a car you didn't want? You were sitting there the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what about some of the stocks here, Dave? because you're depressing me kind of about what is going to be going on out there. But I was looking at, let's talk about just the automakers. So the GM, Ford, you know, Toyota is out there. These companies have already reported they're super cheap. I've covered them as value stocks in the past, or maybe possibly value traps, depending on how you're looking at it. But GM is now trading at under 6x earnings. Their dividend is 4.2%. Ford is at 6.7x earnings. Dividend is 5.4%. But from what you're saying, sounds like, you know, with these levels of inventory too, they are furloughing people at some of the manufacturing facilities because there's just too many cars on the lots right now that this, maybe I don't want to own the actual automakers here.
Yeah, I don't think you do. I think it is a value trap.
Okay.
And specifically with Ford, you saw they got pounded on earnings even after record revenues.
Yeah.
Because they're spending a bunch of money to invest in new plants and retooling and things like that. So it's just not a great time. And you got peak auto and interest rates.
Yeah.
So there's just, it's getting hit on both sides. The supply numbers are through the roof and the demand numbers are dropping.
What about the peak auto argument? Because I've seen from some of what everybody said after these earnings reports, that they think they can maintain 16 to 17 million auto sales a year in the U.S. and that it's not going to go down from there. Obviously, that's without a recession going on. Do you think it's possible that we could just be kind of stabilized at this high level and it doesn't really go down? It doesn't go up much from there because the demand isn't there, but we can kind of just stay at this level and things will be kind of good for the automakers?
No.
Okay.
Because the numbers are artificially inflated by the huge number of subprime auto loans. So if those subprime numbers were still at 10% and we were at these values, then I would totally, I'd say, yeah, sure, we can sustain it here. But that number is swelled all the way up to a third of the market, and that's not sustainable. The default rate on subprime auto loans is 60%. So eventually people are going to default on these things. And that's going to cause a problem for credit across the board for car loans. It's going to tighten up the credit on car loans. So it's going to make it tougher to buy a car. And it's just going to get worse for the automakers.
What about with the dealers? Because we started off this podcast with Eric's story about the dealers all stalking him or hounding him, we should say. To make that sale. And a lot of them have all reported earnings as well. Some of the biggest dealerships, and these are the ones that you don't necessarily know these companies own the auto dealer that you go to, but they do because this industry is consolidating. So there's Lithia, their ticker is LAD. There's Penske, they're the second largest auto dealership. So they have, just to give out some numbers, they have 170 auto dealerships in 17 states, but they also have 174 outside the U.S., mostly in the U.K. So they're big over in the U.K., which you might not want to be in right now with the Brexit going on, but that ticker is PAG. And then you have these other ones. Group One Automotive is big, and Asbury is also big. But they all have dealerships around the country, and they do both new and used cars. So you do get the used car action with them. And then the biggest area, it sounded like to me off this last earnings reports, were the parts and the services. So Lithia, for instance, which is one of my favorite auto dealership companies, their parts and services comp was up 7.1% in the second quarter, which is pretty good. 10% up in the body shops. And then they had 7% in warranty, 5% in wholesale parts, and then 7% in customer pay. I'm assuming that's some kind of financing or something, customer pay. And so those numbers are pretty good. And all the analysts seem to be like, they love the parts and services. As those cars age, you have to take it in to get repairs. You're maybe repairing it instead of buying something new at this point. So can that parts and services help sustain these dealerships when the new car sales, you know, start tanking more if they're not already, and maybe even used car sales? Is this an area I want to look at?
Well, there are some places that have much, you know, more of a tilt towards service and used cars.
Yeah.
You know, just look at CarMax. They don't sell new cars. It's all
right.
used cars.
Right.
So I think, yeah, definitely on the service side, on the part side, those will benefit. It's the new car guys that are going to struggle, but it just depends on how bad this subprime bubble pops.
Okay. So would you suggest not getting into any of the auto dealerships then? Because they're all pretty cheap too. They trade anywhere from 8 times to 12 times. A few of them pay dividends. Not all of them, but a few do. And one that actually people might want to not be in right now is Group One Automotive. I actually think it's a Zacks rank number 5 because they have some dealerships in Brazil and also the UK too, both kind of dubious areas at the moment, I feel. But like, because I kind of like the auto dealerships and feel like if I'm going to buy in the auto sector, that this might be an area I would want to get into. But it sounds like you don't even like that I should go for more pure play on the used car side.
Yeah, if you're going to do it.
Okay.
I'm sure you can find the same valuations in companies that are, you know, where's CarMax at right now?
Yeah.
You can probably find the same valuations there and not have the risk of this, you know, impending new car sales trouble.
Okay.
CarMax is up today.
Okay. Then that's one I'll definitely keep an eye on, is the CarMax. And on a different note, I did want to bring up one stock that is doing really well on the auto side, and that is the Ferrari.
It's Dave's favorite.
Yeah, Race, RACE. It's trading at 39 times, so it's not a value, but it's still a really hot stock. It's reporting this week, so we don't know what it's going to say. Obviously, the luxury car side is kind of a different market than what we've been talking about, especially at the Ferrari level. It's not even Mercedes or, you know,
no,
BMW.
We're
talking
exotic. It's not a luxury. It's
right.
A different plane of existence.
Right.
And they've got a pedigree that nobody else has in the world.
Oh, my. Right.
Oh, boy. I opened up.
They used to only make 3,000 Ferraris a year.
How much?
Now they make 8,000.
Oh.
And then they're probably going to make 15,000. They're going to make... So they're growing their line, whereas before you could either buy the V12 car or the V8 sports car. Now you have those, plus you have hatchbacks, plus you have the hardtop convertible in the California, and then you still have those V12 models, and then you also have just the speciales on each one of these. And as this wealth effect has kind of gone throughout the world, especially in China. The Chinese are getting their hands on Ferraris, and they love the special editions. And the margins on the special editions for Ferrari are just astronomical. So they're rocking and rolling right now. And the stock's rallied like crazy, but if you look at our price consensus and EPS surprise chart, earnings have gone up like crazy along with the stock price. So it's not like there's a lot of speculation and people are running up into Ferrari with the hopes that there's going to be these huge expansions that aren't sustainable. This has actually been confirmed with EPS estimates going to the upside, and it's been happening for a few, you know, several quarters right now. And they're starting to win an F1 again, which is never a bad thing.
I'm looking at the chart you're talking about, Dave, and the only miss they have is early 2016. Everything else is green, and estimates are up. And they're up 3% today, almost 4% at 108.98, you know.
So you would still buy at these levels or wait until the earnings report and then see what they say, or what's your take?
No, there's no stopping Ferrari right now.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
They've also brought their cars down from... Ferrari used to be like a very unmanageable beast of a car. Now Ferraris are like Corvettes in that if you want to just drive mild-mannered and just kind of putt around and cruise, it'll let you do it. It's got all the creature comforts in the world. It's a real nice car, real nice driving car.
And if then you're under like 5 foot, though, right, Dave?
You have to be short. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're under 5 foot, though, right, Dave?
No, they're a lot bigger now. All of that's changed.
I'm only joking because I saw those pictures of you playing around with Ferraris. It's like, get into one, Dave. Let's see it.
Yeah. Well, that was the LaFerrari. That's a hyper car that you just can't even imagine. But they're totally, totally different thing going on at Ferrari than you're seeing at any of the other dealers or any of the other auto manufacturers, because there's always been this huge demand for Ferrari, and now they are taking advantage of that and, you know, meeting that demand. So
I do remember when Ferrari was a lot more rare.
Yeah.
You see a lot more less Ferraris on the road as more of a surprise. Now you see a lot of their cheaper versions out rolling around.
That's because of that California. I hate that car. I got into it with the sales guy over that. Because I was, you know, I'm like talking garbage about this because it's basically a Maserati, which is essentially a Fiat. So I called it a Fiat and the guy got mad. Like, no,
insult his product. You're going to make a friend there.
Yeah, right. Like, no, dude, that's a Fiat. Like, let's be honest here. It's a grand touring convertible Ferrari, which you never had before.
Yeah, I've seen a lot more of them on the road.
A whole new, yeah. And Lamborghini, of course, I'm totally.
I was gonna say Lamborghini is the one that you used to see everywhere.
Yeah,
now it's like Ferraris and Lamborghinis are like one for one on the street.
Well, like Huracans. I obviously live in a weird place, but I see probably 10 Lamborghini Huracans every day.
Wow.
Like, it's just common.
Where do you live?
Just like Sunny Isles Beach.
Down in Florida. Wow.
Yeah,
Perfect environment for that vehicle.
Yeah.
I have one of those appear.
I see four or five Rolls Royces every day too, and I probably saw four Rolls Royces my whole life in Chicago. So wow. It's definitely a different. It's like a car spotter's dream down here.
I actually just saw. Speaking of funny cars, sorry to interrupt, but I just saw the Bentley SUV the other day outside the office here, and it was ugly.
Wow, I didn't even know they made a Volkswagen
Touareg with a nice interior.
Just look at the rear end, though. The rear end was the surprising part. It looked like they took the rear end off a standard Rolls Royce and just slapped it on the back of it. I was like, that looks so strange.
Yeah, that Bentley is it's a Volkswagen. They're owned by Volkswagen.
Yeah, so based on your optimism, sounds like, Ferrari's the only thing you recommend in the car area. And maybe CarMax. Ferrari and CarMax.
Yeah, unless you can find, you know, some of these parts guys might be a fun play.
Right. But for the basic,
Ferrari's been rocking and rolling all year.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one we're going to watch for sure on this next earnings report and kind of see where they go. But I guess our conclusion is to kind of stay away from most else that's going on in the auto industry, at least in the U.S. with these dealerships. So some of those tickers again were Lithia, LAD, Penske, PAG, Group One is GPI. Asbury, which is another big dealership, is ABG. And then obviously General Motors, GM, Ford is F. And Ferrari, if you're interested in the one area that we do tend to like, that one is Race, R-A-C-E. So there's a lot going on. I'm sure we're going to be revisiting what's happening with autos because more will become apparent in the next couple months. We're going to have to wait and see what happens with those inventory levels, with the car loans, what's happening with the U.S. economy, all these things. But this is an area I know a lot of investors kind of want to get into, but it sounds like it's not quite the time yet. So we will be revisiting it because I know we've talked about it in the past. And if you want to see our old or listen to our old podcast, you can check out some of what we've talked about on Zacks.com, of course, but you can really find them on iTunes. And I recommend you subscribe over on iTunes to get all the podcasts and to check out our old episodes because, as I said, we've talked about autos and it's a good place to go. So check that out on iTunes. And from everyone here, I'll see you again next time.